Welcome to this post-game media edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. Today is Friday, March 28th, 2025. Indiana and USC split a doubleheader at Bart Kauffman Field with the wind blowing out and 9 combined home runs. Tyler Cerny went 5-for-8 with a home run and 3 RBIs. Cooper Malamazian went 4-for-8 with 2 doubles and 3 RBIs. Cole Gilley and Pete Haas combined to strike out 15 Trojans in 7.2 innings of the second game. The media met with Cerny, Malamazian, and Jeff Mercer following the contest.
A lot's going right for you over the last couple of weeks. How's it feeling right now? And what do you feel you're doing differently and how you're succeeding?
I'm just really confident in myself right now. You know, I've had a little bit of success here the last couple of weeks, which has added to that, but I've just been keeping my mindset the same every week, going into work and getting my work done, you know, coming out in the field ready to play. Just really confident in what I've been doing this last couple of weeks.
That slide at second base, what happened?
I just caught a cleat. When I went to tag him, got me pretty good, but no, shouldn't be a problem.
Just feeling all right?
Yeah, just probably a little bruise, cut, should be fine.
Tyler, you guys turned a double play today. How comfortable are both of you playing up the middle right now?
Very comfortable. We're both very confident in ourselves. I'm confident in Cooper over there short, and I'm confident in myself over at second base. And we're going to go out and give our best every single ground ball, and we're going to turn this. So.
Was there anything in between game one and game two, anything that the coaching staff kind of talked to you guys about refining maybe at the plate?
Just our approaches. Just staying true to our approach and what we talked about pregame with the scouting report, whatever. But we just relaxed, you know, settled in. We got another game to play. Back out here and just play the game that we know how to play. So we went in there and talked about it.
Tyler, you and Jake Hanley combined for 7 hits and 7 RBIs in the second game. How big is he in the offense for the production?
He's been amazing. He's been really amazing. You know, to see a freshman like that, you know, contribute to the team the way he has been is tremendous and awesome. So hopefully he can keep that up and, you know, maybe fix some of his base running miscues that he's. When there's 2 outs, you should know that.
Anything for Cooper?
Cooper, I mean, at the plate, where's that confidence coming from to begin the season, to begin your career?
I think it kind of just rooted back to, you know, having fun in the game, especially in these Friday night games. Are, you know, they're fun. They're not meant to be scary. They're not meant to be, you know, some days you want to score the plate, the confidence and have fun out there. And I kind of have the same approach every time. It's just, you know, get a good pitch to hit and keep going well.
What do you guys have to do tomorrow to win the series?
Compete every pitch. Simple as that.
Today as a whole, you had some success in finishing innings and some struggles in finishing innings. And this is something you've talked about a bit before. Can you kind of just reflect on that for today?
Yeah, you know, we overextended Seabold because we weren't in a position to be able to, we weren't in a winning position. We never came back and tied it. We never took the lead. So you're just kind of holding ground. So some of that is just based on, you know, what we've got available right now, and then also the offense you're not doing, you know, in the first game, what we had the opportunity to do. You know, bases loaded, one out, middle lineup. He got second and third, one out, and we don't score runs in either one of those situations. So I thought in the first game we pitched well given the circumstance, and we just didn't give ourselves the opportunity from a coaching staff standpoint to really impact the game. And Gavin's a warrior, and he's going to try to give us as much as he can just to preserve trying to play, you know, 3 games in 24 hours. So, I thought we did about as well as could be expected. I mean, it's as talented of an offense as we faced, just top to bottom. They're dangerous on a day that's not super offensive. They're really dangerous with a 35-mile-an-hour wind. And so, you know, I thought we battled like crazy all day on the mound and did about as well as could be expected given the circumstances. I guess that would be my thing is I think we did a pretty good job. We had some opportunities to end it, but in Gavin's defense, you know, you're throwing a lot of us off speed early to get out of it, to give yourself a chance to extend it. And then hoping, you know, when you show all the tricks the first time through, you're doing that with the intention of being able to go to somebody else in that eighth and ninth, kind of hopefully the offense breaks through. And then you have to give this ball to somebody else to finish it. When we didn't do that, I don't want to hold that against him because I thought he was really competitive.
Coach, you didn't have to use Ben Grable today. How happy are you? A, you didn't have to use him, and B, you have him for tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good place to be going into tomorrow. Hopefully, there's always the fear of him, throwing 100 pitches last week and he's come back from surgery so quickly. So it is a good place to be, but also at the same time, you got to make sure he's in a good position too. So coming back, we're in a good position if he's able to go and give you length and those things. So that's always that's always double-edged sword of a guy coming back on Tommy John so quickly.
So you expect such a large presence of Redlaw coming into really the series all day today?
Yeah, yeah. Looking at the weather coming into the weekend and then watching their video, and they got some Panthers. I mean, and it's up and down, and it's all of them. I've known Travis Jewett, who works with their hitters for a long time. He was at Vanderbilt with Blake Allen and was at Tulane when I was at Wright State. We went and played those guys, and they were always offensive. I watched the video. Coach Glenn said, hey, we're going to have to really navigate. And I went and watched video, and he's not wrong very often. When he says we're going to have to duke it out, he usually knows. So, yeah, I assumed it was going to be a big part of the day. They landed on a few more in the first game than we did, and we landed on a few on the second game and able to run away with it. So, going into today, it was good old Bloomington, and what month are we in? April,
March.
We're in March. Bloomington in March, Bloomington in April, it's kind of all the same. If you get a south wind and you get a storm coming in, like we're going to get, tomorrow evening and Sunday, it's going to be a windy day, and they're really good. They're a really good offense.
Is it nice?
Jake's been swinging it so well lately, and three hits in the second game today. What is it about him that gives him this veteran-like approach even as a freshman?
His dad played college baseball, and that helps a ton. And he just played it. He played really good for really good teams. Played really good baseball all growing up. And he was a prime. Honestly, he was more of a pitcher kind of growing up, and even then, he pitched for us this fall. So when you have a dad that played college baseball, his younger brother is a college commit, and you were a pitcher, he just understands counts, he understands having an at-bat, he understands what he would do to himself in his situation. So, he's able to work his way through it, and he's a great listener. And he stands next to me in the dugout the entire game, every game, which I love, and just talks. We just talk hitting, and we talk approach, and we talk all that stuff. And he's a great worker, and he's talented on top. So you put all that we always talk about it. You've got family aptitude is a big deal. Ability is the huge determining factor, and then intelligence. Can you think? Can you adjust? Are you a willing learner? And he's really figuring out how to not have effort through his front side to turn the bat, and he's starting to really drive some balls to his pull side field, which is incredibly unique. That home run he hit in the second game that was an absolute rocket ship. So all those things together make for a pretty dynamic player. There are some times, some of the base running stuff as a young guy, and so you always we play so many young guys that you just kind of, I'm kind of used to where you have this grown as a man child, you have this grown man who plays so many parts of the game like such a veteran. And some of those little things we still have to learn and grow. He's still 19. So he's doing as a really special player, doing an awesome job.
You're going to sleep well knowing that tomorrow with Ben going, the wind will be down? A little bit less than today.
I'll sleep well after tomorrow. if everything goes well and he's good and all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, you feel good about going into tomorrow. And I'll feel really good with the wind under 30 miles an hour. That would be great. And I wish I'd keep the turf as dry as we can.
Yeah, you mentioned Grant Holderfield as a warrior. Although the statistical results weren't always the best early in the season, he delivered one of his best performances today. Yeah. Talk about how important he's been in the past couple of games and what he's taken strides on.
He's just been huge for us. Let me talk about it. He's reinvented himself, a couple times over. And that's a hard thing to do. When you're a low 90s guy with power stuff as a young guy, you have shoulder surgery, you had thoracic outlet in high school, all those different things. And then to have to reinvent yourself into the changeup, specialist and a bunch of sliders is really hard to do. It just takes a really special person. But I always felt confident with him, even when he struggled. because of who he is, and he's just such a tough kid and a worker and so smart, and he's got an incredible family, that eventually he was going to find a path to navigate. And that's what you want. When you put a guy on the mound, you just want to feel like he's in the fight with you. He's not scared. He's competitive. He's tough. He wants to be in there. I always felt that way with him. I always felt like he wanted to be in the fight. I mean, Coach Klein certainly did too, and kudos to them for finding the path. But that was huge for us, Coach Glant and I had, a conversation about if he should go back out for the eighth or not, and kind of back and forth. The fear was we had Pete after him, and the fear was they would eventually figure out the trick on Pete, and Grant was going so well again. So we got really fortunate, got the first two outs, and he just kind of ran out of gas with a walk and then falls behind in the single. And then you go to Pete, and Pete gets out of it. So. I breathe a little easier once it actually worked, going Grant back out for the eighth. But you think about it, he gets that hot shot and drops it and then throws it away. And then to recover, he's got two guys on, only gives up one run. That's a lot. That's all attitude and that's all guts. So he's done such a terrific job. And we're just going to have guys continue to step up and get better and develop. There's no other way. And you just can't. On a personal note, you can't be happier for him and Ryan Kraft. I told Crafty, and he was really good today too. I told Crafty, I got after his outing last week against UCLA, I got two texts after the game. One was from my mom, one was from my wife, to tell Ryan Kraft, how happy they were and how proud of him they were. They're friends with his family, and he's done a great job. So both of those guys coming in together, sticking through it all, having some good days and some bad days, and to be great players for us in their senior year. I mean, that's what it's all about.
You had a pretty good showing from the fans, especially there in game two. Yeah. How pivotal is that for you guys, especially on these Friday nights?
Yeah, it's awesome. And, I was talking to Coach Sinkowitz before the game. He's such a gentleman. He said, I grew up here, and if you had told me when I was a kid that I would see USC walking into Bloomington to play a series, I never would have thought it. And at the same time, he said, especially with us in the same conference, he said, I still have to kind of pinch myself seeing the Big Ten logo on our jersey as well. But we have a terrific fan base, and people here, they support all the sports when you're successful, and they love baseball. And then, the Big Ten expanding and bringing in great teams. The addition of the West Coast team has just been terrific. And so you want to see it. You want to see, how many folks have ever seen USC, play baseball. They've won 12 national championships in baseball. It's one of the most storied programs in the history of the sport. And so it's just tremendous for us to have, the fans there, the kids love it, and then we go out and you play well for them tonight. And, we're proud to represent the state. And you want to put a good show on, and the kids want to put a good show on. It matters when you have a good weather day and a couple thousand people come out and have a great presence, and it carries a lot of weight with them. It carries a lot with me, certainly being from this community. So we're very appreciative and very thankful. And we have to do a good job of putting a good product in the field and playing good baseball. And that is a predictor for people wanting to come to the games. You got to put a good product out there and compete and be worth being proud of.
Can you talk about what it means just to have such a successful defensive infield that's dominated by freshmen?
Yeah, that you talk about breathing easy. I'm just so thrilled with the way that they played. And kudos to Tyler Cerny too. Tyler played probably his best game of the year tonight. He gets stepped on at second base on that play from the throw from the outfield. His hands all swollen and cut up. He's playing great defense. He's been a great teammate, super supportive. And so kudos to him for being able to work with us and move some things around. But yeah, Will Moore in that first game, especially Will, was tremendous, and he always plays good defense. But again, Cooper, at shortstop as a freshman is just a really special thing, and he played great. And then Jake's been a great defender. But you look out there and we've turned more double plays in the last week than we ever have. In knowing that those guys are all freshmen and have a chance to, they're tremendous today, but also to grow up together and play a high level of defense. And, that's not always an easy thing to put on the field in the Midwest. It's just, it's hard. It's hard to get really good infielders that can compete early in their career in the Midwest. And we landed on three of them. Now obviously, Will's from Canada, but to get three young infielders that can play at a high level It's a pitching coach's best friend, which then makes it a head coach's best friend too. But you can see the difference in our ability to pitch and manage and throw more contact at your pitches when you take care of the ball like that. And on a day like today, we try to throw a bunch of sinkers and cutters and changeups and anything we could to keep the ball out of the air, and then to have those guys take care of the ball so well. It's how we've always wanted to play. It's how we're trying to recruit to play. And we need to continue to do that. But we've done it really well the last week or two. And those young guys are the main cog in that.
Talking about the home runs, I think five of them, by my count, were on first pitches tonight for USC. Is there something to that in your eyes? They were attacking early, ambushing.
I mean, you're trying to get ahead, and they don't want to let you get ahead. And they get the ball up really well. They block their front side. They stay behind it. They'll homer fastballs. They'll homer off speed pitches. You know, we threw a bunch of three or four of them were on cutters in that caught too much of the plate. But at the same time, you got to get in. And if you're trying to get in, you leave it over the plate. You know, they're ready to go. It's the dichotomy of it, right? You know, their starter has been tremendous. And as I talked to our offensive guys before the game, was he's thrown 34 innings, he's walked two guys, and he's going to throw strikes. Now, we got to hit the right strikes, which we haven't done a good job of. We didn't do a good job of that in the first game, and we didn't do that against UCLA. The second game, we made a really good adjustment to get the right strikes, and when you get them, to really be committed to contact. So we did the same thing to him. You know, Andrew, first pitch of the game, bang, double. So when you got two staffs right now that are throwing strikes, and they're trying to get after you early, and trying to keep you on the ground, and sometimes they're going to get one. But typically, solo homers don't win and lose games. It's the three-run homer. It's the three-run double. It's the two-run homer, you know, twice in an inning. It's something like that. So I would much rather have those guys. I'd much rather give up five or six by being competitive, being in the zone, attacking, and then get back in there and doing it again than by, you know, nibbling and being scared and passive and then you end up with, you know, walk two guys and hit a guy, and now you're in trouble. Now, you know, even the inning where they hit three consecutive homers against Kraft, okay, they hit three solo shots in a row. The chances of, now, it helps when the one's going out 35, but they clobbered a couple of them, you know. But chances of doing that are super rare, especially if they hit different pitches too. And you look up and it's, okay, we're still tied. It's your 3-3. You have a chance to, you go back and we still take the lead, but we can't do it if we're not aggressive. You can't pitch to success and to a win if we're not consistently in the zone. And if we're going to play better defense, which we've shown the propensity to do, then we're going to have to keep fighting our way through it. And I kudos to our staff for doing that.
Coach, can you talk about what Holderfield and Gilly meant? I think they had 15 or 16 strikeouts combined. What it means to kind of turn to them to get the outs instead of turning to the defense?
You look at Gilly. Gilly gives up the first pitch homer. We score one. First pitch of the inning, he hangs the cutter. Guy homers it. I think then he strikes out the side, then strikes out four guys in a row, if I'm remembering correctly. And so it's just such a calming feeling when you know it's like, all right, we're fine. You got a guy that's going to keep attacking and keep throwing punches. And again, I go back to the Cole Gilly is a transformationally different player than he was a year ago at Indiana State. And Mitch Annis is one of the best coaches in the country, so that's no slight. But the tutelage of Coach Glant in teaching different pitches and teaching cutters and really accentuating him, you know, teaching the sweeper and some of those different things. Same thing with Holderfield, you know, reconstructing that into the changeup and a better slider. That stuff takes weeks and months of time to be able to hone those things in. And so when you have a really mature kid who is tough and he is coachable and he is smart, and then you put him in the right position, they're able to really flourish. But, you know, having those guys that they want to be in the fight, you know they want to be in the game, and you know they put in the work to be able to improve themselves and to manage, you'll win and lose with them. You'll win and lose with them. And now we got to get the next group of guys that does the same things. Like I've talked about it a bunch. Some of those freshmen have capabilities of doing that. You know, it was big for Koski to get in there today and get in and get a quick out. But those young guys, they have to do the same thing. They have to follow the lead. And we have good leadership. And it's hard to have good leadership with the draft. You always take in your sophomores, but certainly your juniors. To have some seniors there, these guys have got to live and learn and appreciate having guys like those two and Burr and Siebold. You just don't always have good leadership. And those guys have provided a great path and plan for the young guys to learn. And they got to follow. They've got to do it. They're capable, and they need to advance themselves. The whole group of them do.
Following up on those pitchers, you talk a lot about the physical aspects and stuff they're working on in pitches, but we've seen almost a different kind of swagger come out of this pitching staff, yeah. especially in the second game, Gilly, Holderfield, and Haas, who's always known to be fiery.
Yeah.
But you've seen a different swagger, even out of mild-mannered guys. Is that something you've talked to them about and almost pitching with attack? Is that something Cole talked about earlier in the week, almost pitching to attack and pitching to win?
That all started this fall. Coach Gleant, those guys were up on Wednesday mornings at 6 a.m. all fall doing training and just working their tails off. And they worked so hard this fall. They went through such a rigorous fall. And they had such a great demeanor about them. They were – it's like anything else. If you work hard and you compete and you put the time in, you're proud of what you've done. And then you want to go show it. And so that was the point when we struggled on the mound. We just got sideways a little bit. And those guys, I watched them all fall. I felt like that room culturally was in the best place it's been in a long time, since that COVID-reduced season. They were tough and competitive and fiery, and they'd put the work in. I thought Coach Clant did a tremendous job this fall of really pushing them in a different way. Sometimes you gotta get your butt kicked a little bit, and you're proud of that. So that's where that comes from. And they are confident. And then you have a couple of those guys that go through the wall. That is Siebold's demeanor. That is Haas's demeanor. That is Gilly's demeanor, and Holderfield and Kraft and Grable. And so when you do that, it's infectious. If this guy's not scared to compete, then I shouldn't be scared to compete. And now your feet are being held to it, and you're being pushed not only by your coaches but by your teammates. The best teams are player led, and that room is player led. And I felt good about it coming into the year, and I feel better as we get some guys back off of the DL. I think that next group will too. But you're right. It was a different feel all year from them, and I think I'm confident. I know it started in the fall with the hard work those guys put in. A little bit different. Not that we haven't worked hard, but we haven't worked like that. We haven't done, the military-esque training and getting in and getting after it. And those guys kick butt, and they're proud of that, and they should be.
The two teams will play in a rubber match to decide the series at 12 noon Eastern time on Saturday. See you at the BART.